okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 123 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, half-worn-out Mr. Shelton Muller. How are you?
Oh, yes, the life of the famous. I won't say rich and famous. Yeah.
The infamous.
Oh, yeah. Broken infamous. Yeah. I'd rather be just rich and famous. That'd be great. Maybe not even famous, just, you know.
Just rich.
But apparently that's not all it's cracked up to be either. So, you know. But you know what? I'd love to find that out for myself.
Absolutely.
You know? I'd love to be seriously burnt, you know? Just seriously burnt by the experience. But, you know, who knows if it'll ever happen. Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, we're recording this on the Friday before Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Everybody wants everything before these magic dates, you know, like the world sort of comes to an end. Like, you know, everybody, we need that before Christmas, right? You know, why? What happens on the 25th? The 26th, the world blows up? You know, what is this? So yes, I'm desperately working away to try and get things done for people as best I can. But if I can't, I can't. Which flies in the face of probably everything I'm going to say today.
Right. We love it.
Shelton Muller, photographer, podcast doer, and hypocrite. Yeah. But you know, so I'll do. Look, you do what you can, and you work hard to do what you can, and that's a lot about what we're going to talk about today. Because last week, of course, we were talking about domestic clients and how to get into the domestic field.
Yep.
And that seemed to go down well from emails and things that we got. But I know a lot of photographers are also keen to get stuck into finding commercial clients at varying levels and varying degrees. Now, my commercial clients vary from tiny little PR companies that are just a handful of people, and I just go out and I photograph events that happen and things like that, you know, right up to major corporations. You know, Kodak is among one of my clients here. Yeah. One of Australia's major banks is one of my clients. And so you have these huge clients that you and some of the smaller ones as well. Look, I am no expert in marketing, Bruce. If I was, I'd probably be a hell of a lot richer, and maybe I should consult people on that. I've always based, ever since I started, you know, many, many years ago, I based my business on the only thing that I really knew how to do apart from take pictures, and that was relationship building. You know, make friends.
Yep.
and be there when people need you. That's something that I know how to do. How to get them initially, that's the hard part. When I started in photography years ago, I had a friend introduce me to someone who was, I just finished working for a studio, and I was about 24 years old, and the studio went under, and I had all this equipment and all this knowledge and no job. And it wasn't my fault the studio went under. The couple, the married couple who were owners of the studio, their marriage fell apart, and so everything else fell apart as well, unfortunately.
Right.
But my friend said, look, you know, Shell, I know someone who's starting up a magazine. He's a good friend of mine, and he's going to be the editor of it. I'll put in a good word for you. And look, within days, I had my first shoot for this magazine, and it was a very, very lucky start for me. But I found that I couldn't just rely on the one client. I couldn't rely on the one person, the one magazine, the one source of income. But it was a great way to begin networking. And I would, for instance, when you get a client, as I did in this particular case, it was just a little magazine called Working with Tools and Equipment. And it was out in the 80s, and it was about stuff I know nothing about, and that's working with tools and equipment. But, you know, but it was a great start for me and a great commercial start for me. And I found that I was photographing everything from, you know, people on work sites to studio shoots with, you know, trowels and saws and chisels and hammers and routers and drills and things like that. And I felt all very, very testosterone charged, let me tell you. But, you know, I knew nothing about it. But I would say do a shoot for Metabo. Right? Let's say that they had a new product, the magazine wanted it photographed. I would go down to Metabo I would pick it up. I'd meet the marketing person at Metabo, and you know, I would leave them my card, or look, I'm doing the shoot for the magazine. And they would say, oh, can I have your card? Because we often need a photographer. And so sooner or later, yes, I ended up doing shoots for Metabo. Because, you know, there was one client, suddenly that became two based on the first one. Yeah. And, you know, the more you continue doing that, then the greater your net, your base can be. If you can find one client and by means of that client introduce yourselves to others, you're going to probably find it a heck of a lot easier than just, you know, going around the streets with a folio.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, a folio is a great idea and it works, but usually it has to be you have to strike at the right time with a folio, because if a company has a photographer, they usually prefer the devil they know to the devil they don't. And they, you know, and that's fair enough. We all prefer, you know, we have our favorite people that we go to. We have our favorite dry cleaners and our favorite plumbers and our favorite whomever. And it's the same with PR companies, advertising agencies, magazines. They have photographers already. Of course they do. If you come in with a portfolio and you present it to them, as brilliant as your work might be, they would have to have a specific need for your style of work before they'd hire you. There's no way known that they will get rid of a person who has provided reliable service at a price that they know for the sake of some new maverick that's walked into the office. There is such a thing as loyalty, and there's such a thing as business ethics and sense, common sense. So to traipse the streets with your portfolio, it might be something you'll have to do. I did it very, very rarely, and nothing ever came of it. And not because my work wasn't good, but it's just that my timing was bad, and you know, they already
cold
had photographers.
Cold calling is just not a particularly rewarding way of doing it.
No,
For anybody.
put yourself in their shoes, yeah. And what are you going to say? It's like getting these sales calls. They might have the greatest deal on earth, but A, you're not in the frame of mind to be taking the call at the time. B, I already have a service that I know. I'm not going to over the phone change some service, like a phone service or my electrical provider or whomever it might be, based on a phone call. It's a cold call. Someone comes at my door, I'm not going to rush him with enthusiasm with, you know, whether he's offering cable TV or whatever it might be. You will take your time. Even if your work is so incredibly avant-garde that you know, they will rush you with love for your work, they may not actually hire you because they don't have a need for your style of work. Most photography these days is fairly perfunctory, and that's the thing about commercial work. It can drive you absolutely nuts with the level of its uninspiringness, if that's a word.
Yes.
You know, we have this soap
mediocrity bottle. Is the new perfection.
Yeah. I like that. You should. Yeah, I mean, don't put it up as your Facebook status. But I really like that. But, you know, they did you just make that up on the spot?
Kind of.
Well,
kind of. It's let's just say it's a twist on a saying we have at work.
Oh, all right.
Which is, we aim for mediocrity and sometimes we reach it.
Oh, I'm going to put that on my business card. I mean, you know, they'll love you for getting a laugh, you know.
Yeah.
But it's true. You know, look, that's the thing you have to remember. So if you can establish a relationship with somebody by means fair or foul, you get somebody who gives you a shoot. Your local, when you go down to the gym, you know, is the gym going to be doing a catalog soon? Have you spoken to them about, you know, the fact that you're a photographer and you'd love to shoot their next brochure or their next magazine ad or whatever? And then, you know, from there, where do you go? Well, who supplies the gym with its equipment? You know, who else attends the gym, etc., etc. We work in daily aspects of our lives that we could put it out there. And then once you get a client, you then network from there based on their recommendations also. And if someone recommends a photographer, it's like wedding photography. If you get verbally recommended by someone for whom you photographed their wedding, you're basically in. You're in on that wedding, and it's exactly the same in commercial.
Yeah.
And so you basically network based on your first one or two clients and the clients that they introduce you to. I could list you my clients now, and I could, if I was to draw a graph, I could draw arrows down to one or two people.
That all of the work stemmed from?
All of the work stemmed from, essentially, yes. Yeah. You know, I work for Kodak because I did the magazine. And for me, look, an incredible advantage because suddenly the magazine launched me into somebody I didn't realize, you know, I was or still don't think I am. But, you know, it introduced me to a whole bunch of people in the photography industry. And one of them was a woman who worked at Kodak. And then since she's left Kodak, she's gone to other businesses. And she's taken me as a matter of loyalty and as a matter of faith. Yep. She has taken me into those businesses as well. So not only do I photograph now for Kodak when they need something done, not always, but a lot of time.
Yep.
But the businesses, her trail of employment, I'm also still working for those businesses. And where she is now, which is a major bank, I'm working there. And I've got not just her her department I'm photographing for, but she has introduced me to other departments within that bank.
Nice.
And I'm photographing for them as well. A woman who worked at Kodak, who was the receptionist there and used to just see me coming in all the time, recommended me to her husband, who runs a law firm. And so I regularly go in and do what Mark Twain said we should all do, and that's shoot all the lawyers. And so that's how these things work. It really is because so you establish relationships. Now, once you've got one or two or three good relationships, the thing is to just work your butt off for them. Because yep. where you fail, if you fail once or twice, everybody does that. And if you've established a good working relationship, a bit of a friendly rapport, your work has been good, your invoices have been reasonable, then a couple of mistakes every now and again, and God knows I've made my share, are not going to put you into the bad books with them immediately. But if you keep stuffing up, then, you know, as we Australians say, then you're going to be dropped, and there's going to be another photographer just waiting in the wings that somebody knows, and they're going to just come straight on in. So you keep your relationships by, you know, under promising and over delivering, or just promising and still over delivering. If you can provide a good quality image at a good price and it's on time, you've bent over backwards to make the shoot easy for them, enjoyable for them, all those kinds of things, then you're going to find yourself in a position whereby, you know, your customers will love you. The shoots are sometimes as boring as Get Out, and other times they are, they're fun and exciting and creative and interesting.
Yeah.
And just the day is fun. So take what you're given and always try to over-deliver if at all possible. Now, that might be in terms of you promise the photographs 2 days, you get them to them the day after. Instead of the mm-hmm. 2 days, you get them to them the next day. You promise 20 images, you give them 40. Whatever it might be. And so they're always constantly surprised in a positive way by what you provide. And maybe they'll throw you in a situation that they think, how on earth is he going to take pictures of this in this situation and come up with something good? And then you do. Well, you know, you're a hero. They have absolutely no idea how you've done this, because these are just corporate people often, not mm-hmm. necessarily designers or graphics people or whatever.
Or sometimes, photographers for that
matter. Or photographers, no, God, no. These are corporate people, and they are, you know, maybe marketing managers or maybe not even that. They're just people in corporate positions who are working with you, and they think, how the hell is he going to do this? You do it well, you get them their photographs, you charge a reasonable price, you know, and you're going to keep them as clients. It really is, all of my business relationships, probably bar, I don't know, well, no, all of them eventually become very relationship-based. And that's how I've always worked.
Do you know, I came to Sydney in 96 with no gig lined up. I left a full-time job to move to Sydney because my wife at the time had just received a good job in Sydney. So I landed in Sydney with nothing lined up. I knew that there was an opening for a full-time position at one of the major radio stations in town. Mm-hmm. I put my hand up for it. went out, met the program director. He said he had to listen to my demo tape, and he said, look, to be honest, I don't think you're quite ready for this role, but I do have an opening for 8 weeks filling in as a commercial producer.
Yep.
And so I said, okay, sure, you know, whatever. I mean, at the time, I was happy just to have something that was going to put food on the table.
Yeah.
But that 8 weeks came and went. I then left there, went to another gig that came to me by word of mouth, simply because someone I'd spoken to had mentioned me to somebody else. When that thing finished, the station I'd previously done 8 weeks for called me back and said, we've got another 6 weeks if you're interested. So I said yes to that. And while I was in the middle of that 6 weeks, I got another phone call from a guy I'd never heard of who said, I got your name and number from XYZ. I hear you're available as a freelance commercial producer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yep, that's me. And seriously, here I am 13 years later.
Wow.
And yeah, so I mean, everything you've said about photography, I think translates across industries. You know, if you can bring your A game every time, and you are a personable type of, you know, person, you know, you get along well with people. I think you know, that pretty much is all it takes. You know, you do good work and you are easy to work with, then, you know, your name will precede you.
Yes.
Because that's the way I found it to be. And of all the places that I have worked in this town in the, you know, 13 years that I've been here, I reckon 80% of them have been through word of mouth where they've called me, you know, and to me it was like a cold call. It was like I'd never heard of them before, and they've rung me up and gone, yeah, we got your name and number from so-and-so. Can you drive this system? And if you can, great. When can you start? And if you can't, can you come in and learn it? and I've always been of the opinion, like, because I was essentially, you know, hiring myself out as a freelance audio engineer, I basically took the attitude that if someone had a system, you know, an audio workstation system that I'd not used before, I was always happy to give usually one day, but two if it was a difficult system, at no charge, where I would go in and spend up to 2 days, but usually 1 day would do it, to learn their system. And most people really valued that kind of commitment on my part, because they saw that as, you know, some sort of measure of good faith. It's like, well, here's a guy who's prepared to give up a day of his time to come and learn our system so that he can be of benefit to us.
Yep.
And seriously, I picked up so much work because I took that attitude. It was like, well, I don't know it yet, but if you let me come in for a day, I'll sit with your guy. He can teach me, and then I'll be of some value to you.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the same kind of thing can translate across industries.
Apply your principle to photography and you've got a successful business.
Yeah.
You know, you really do, because not everybody is prepared to do that. And the thing about photographers, believe it or not, now I know you're going to find this very hard to believe, Bruce.
Right.
But photographers do battle with their ego sometimes. And, you know, I know you find that hard to believe, hence the laugh, because you're thinking impossible, right?
Yeah.
But you know, if you believe, you know, that you are just the best, you're going to set the world on fire, and your images are just spectacular, and they might be, and you might be, but that does not necessarily get you a job. Anybody who looks on Flickr will see that there are photographers who blow my wig. Man, this work is amazing.
Right.
You know, how come you're not world famous? Look at this image. This is awesome. It's creative stuff I could never even conceive in my head, right? It's just awesome. And you think, well, why aren't these people world famous? They're just, you know, amateur and enthusiast photographers, but they either have no inclination to become professional, or they just haven't got the people skills, the business skills, or whatever it might be. And then, of course, if they do think, well, the world owes this to me because I'm brilliant, and, you know, that's an arrogance that just won't get you anywhere, but sometimes it does happen. That's not going to get you anywhere. It really won't get you anywhere. So, look, I just think that, and I know from personal experience, you have to be prepared to shoot whatever you're asked to shoot, give it your best shot, even if it's just, you know, real rubbish, boring stuff, and it might not even yield a heck of a lot of money on that one shoot. still, it's a relationship, and I know that I have done shoots for, you know, and I'll actually go into this just a little bit more, but I've done shoots for companies that have driven me nuts and the money hasn't been worth it, but I know that the person there is going to be worth building a relationship with. Conversely, though, be very careful of new companies, people you don't know that well. You can usually smell it, but, you know, just be very, very careful of who say, oh, look, you know, do this job for us, you know, do it for a good price or, you know, whatever. And, you know, and we'll make sure we'll cut you some slack and we'll get you some good jobs. And, you know, I've been promised the world by people when I started out, and they just screwed me and took advantage of me left, right, and center. Never heard from them again. And I, you know, you've got to feel for these things. Always charge what you should charge, but, you know, under promise, over deliver, and follow it up. I mean, there's a lot to this. This is just an introductory discussion to getting commercial clientele. So, you know, we can, of course, expand on this in podcasts to come, depending on your input as listeners and what you really want to know. But as a starting point, get one. By fair means or foul, well, not foul, let's be ethical, you know, unless you're shooting for a poultry company, but fair. Ba-dum-tsh.
Boom, boom.
And, yeah. And you know, and then keep and work that client. Be their guy or girl and be ready for them whenever they ask. And it's very rare that I say no to a client. I will rearrange my schedule as much as possible at a day's notice, half a day's notice, which is usually the case, to be there for a client, no matter what they want. And they really appreciate that as well. I learned something very interesting, you know, when a client said to me, you know, oh, thank you for, I was recommended to them. It was the first shoot that I'd ever done for them. And they called me up. I was recommended to them by by one of their sister companies or something. I can't remember. But she rang me up and she said, oh, thank you so much for making yourself available once, you know, we'd established everything. You know, I just don't know how I'd find a photographer, she said to me.
What?
Well, this is the... I know. That's what happened to me.
You've not heard of the Yellow Pages?
Exactly the point, though. But you go to the Yellow Pages, Bruce, and there are pages and pages and pages and pages of photographers.
Yeah.
And why are you... On what basis would you hire any of them? You know, you don't really know what they're going to be like when they turn up. And if this is some important event or something, you know, do you really know? But somebody recommends you, they know what you need, and they recommend a photographer for that task, then, oh, thank heavens. And it was really interesting because I had the same response, I thought, in my head. I didn't say it to her, but I said, well, what about the Yellow Pages? What about the internet? But it's all too much. It's all too much for them to go to that place and find the unknown quantity that may not actually deliver, and I can't afford to take that risk. I'm hiring a photographer, and my boss, if I stuff this up, my boss is going to be down on me. Mm. Hired the wrong guy, photos didn't turn out, he charged so much that it was out of budget. Those kinds of things. Put yourself in the shoes of, you know, these girls and guys.
Yeah.
And they're girls in their mid-20s or, you know, whatever. And they're working their way into the world as well. You know, so they really don't. They appreciate a personal reference and a personal connection. Somebody who knows somebody. So, to be honest with you, it's much the same in domestic, but with a few differences in the commercial industry. You find your one or your two by whatever means in your life that you can connect with someone and build on that. And in the weeks to come, you know, depending on your responses, gang out there listening, we'll talk about some of the nuances of working with clients and maintaining them and shooting for them that, you know, might interest you.
Cool. Mm. Sounds good.
Great.
All right. We're going to keep this one short. So,
okay. Yeah. Because it's that kind of Friday and I got a million things to do.
Yeah, likewise.
Oh, boy.
And I've just done an Adobe e-seminar where I was talking nonstop for an hour, so my voice has sort of had it. So.
Yeah, you should record it. You should record it, though. It's got that sexy huskiness, you know?
Anyway, thank you very much, matey.
My pleasure, Bruce. Thank you, mate.
No worries. Again, if you want to send us an email, please do studio@audiotu.com or Shelton@audiotu.com. Likewise, look us up on Facebook, either Shelton Muller or Bruce Williams, or you can search for the audiotu.com group. Or, you know, you can always leave notes in the, or comments in the show notes for this episode on audiotu.com or shuttersincpodcast.com, and we can always get back to you or pick up your comments from there.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And we do. We love comments.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Keeps us on track, mate, doesn't it?
Definitely. All right, mate. Well, I look forward to talking to you next week.
You bet. Good on you, mate.
See ya.
See ya.
This has been another AudioToYou.com podcast. For previous episodes, check out
ShuttersIncPodcast.com.
Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@AudioToYou.com.